Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Sabrina wants some tomato stew. Can you hear me?
I heard you.
Those were the best tomatoes I've had in so long. You got me good.
It's a gross part.
Yeah. Well, you work real hard.
I'm
Lord. You know, this is so exciting to be alive in this hour of time, you know. I hear a lot of people complaining and griping because, you know, some things are not like they used to be. But I'll tell you something, they're better than they ever were before for in the spiritual realm if you know Jesus. Now, that's the thing. You have to know Jesus, right? So I'm just happy to tell you that we know Jesus here, and it's our job to introduce you to the Lord, because if you don't know Jesus, you're going to have a hard time in the days ahead, and it won't be such an exciting time. Now, why am I telling you that it's so exciting right now? Well, the reason that I'm telling you that is because of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. But you see, if you don't know him by the Spirit of the Lord, you won't know that. And so you will just be like a lot of people in the world who have no hope. But we have hope. We have what the Bible says is blessed hope. And we're going to talk to you today about the gift of faith, you know, increasing faith, because faith is a very, very important aspect of our faith, of our religion. Because you see, when we have faith, then things happen for us. And so before we get into it tonight, I want to thank all of you for praying for Shirley, my sister. You remember, she's 83 years old, and she had a huge aneurysm in her chest. And so the doctors came in and they told her there was no chance at all for her to survive if she didn't have the operation. But if she had the operation, there was a 5% chance that she would get off of the operating table. Well, the good news is, I was over there today. They were in that operation the day before yesterday. She was in there 6 hours. 6 hours on the table. And all of our friends from Blog Talk were praying for her. And our friends up on Facebook and on my email page. And she just had a lot of friends that were praying for her. And, you know, I told her before she went up to the operation that people from all over the world were praying for her. And she said, tell them thank you for the prayers. So I'm thanking you for the prayers. But I went over there today, and I was over there with my other sister with her. And she can't talk yet much. You know, it takes how long, Sabrina? About 24 hours or so to come out from underneath the heavy dose of whatever they do to anesthesia. It takes a while for them to get their mind back, and sometimes you don't ever get it back. So be praying for her mind, because that stuff does affect the mind, right? Anyway, she went to the operation, and doctor told us if she had not done that the day she did, they doubted very seriously if she would have survived one more day. They said that thing was ready to burst. So it's good news. When somebody's 83 years old and they go through open heart surgery, that's a powerful shock against, you know, against their well-being. And I'd appreciate it if you would continue to pray for her. I thank you for what you've already done. but she needs more prayer, you know, that she comes through. She did mumble that she was in pain. So do be praying about the pain. That was one of her biggest fears before she went up there. She said, I don't think I can take pain. And so, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our pain. And so we're just asking him by his stripes that he'll just go ahead and he's going to complete what he started in Shirley. And so thank you very, very much. We're very excited about what we saw today. The nurses tell us that she's doing very, very well. And, of course, she doesn't feel like she's doing very well. But we can look at the stats on her, and I can tell you that she's doing very, very well. So thank you again. And so tonight, what we want to talk to you about, it's I think this is really one of the most important subjects that we can get into, because faith is what motivates a strong ministry to be able to overcome, not only for their own lives, but for the lives of other people. And so faith, you know, there are keys. This subject tonight is called Keys to Power, Faith. And so if you have faith, you see, no matter what happens, as Job said in Job 13:15, he said to the Lord, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you see, a lot of times when we get under a crunch and we don't see any way out of it, we cave in. And I'm talking about a lot of Christians today. But God wants us to have these keys to exercise our faith so that we know, no matter what goes on, that God is in control. And when you have faith like that, you can stand through all things. You see, when Peter, when he was arrested over there in the book of Acts, and they were over there in the jail, they weren't over there complaining. They were all chained in their cells, their heads. They used to have these gizmos where they could chain a person's to it, and they'd have a chain around their neck and their hands and their legs, and they could barely move, a yoke around their neck. And they're in the prison praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And you see, when you see that in the worst times of your life, that you can still open your mouth and praise the Lord, then you have gone up another level in your faith. Because it's hard to praise the Lord whenever you are in trouble. But you see, faith will cause you to be able to praise the Lord in those times. Now, of course, praise is a weapon. That's one of your spiritual weapons. It's an offensive weapon that you can stand and praise the Lord. And what happens when you praise the Lord? What happens is the Bible says that God comes on the scene. And when you praise the Lord, the Bible calls it a sacrifice of praise. When you praise the Lord, when you don't feel like praising the Lord, we used to sing that, remember, Sabrina? Mm-hmm. I bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. Which one is it? Psalms 27, friends. You see, where the spirit of praise is, the Bible says that he's right there in our presence. Now, if God is right there on the scene,
The devil loses his power, friends. He loses his power over whatever the situation is that's going on in your life. So as you open your mouth in faith and you lift your voice up and you say, God, I don't feel like praising you, but I will praise the Lord. And you stick your feet down to the ground, you stand up, you raise your hands, and you say, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. And you begin to affect praise into your spirit. And all of a sudden, you'll burst through with a great, mighty praise. And you've got the victory. The victory comes because Jesus comes right on the scene. And so that takes faith for you to do that, particularly when serious things are going on in your life. Now, as ministers, friends, when things are going on in your life, that's when people are inspecting the fruit that you have in your life. That's when they're watching to see if you've got the goods. And you see, it's just like with my sister in the hospital. Yeah, she's in the hospital. I mean, she looked like she was going to die before they took her up to the operating room, and she was going to die, according to the doctor. But you walk into that room, and you are able to give good reports and encouragement to a person that has no hope, and they can look in your face and see that you have more than hope, that you have faith. And you can, they can look in your face, and when you say, listen, people from all over the world are praying for you, and she sees that you have just told her something very, very important, that not only people are praying for her, but you believe that those prayers are going to work for her in her behalf. So in your times of need, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, according to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Because you see, we don't understand the spiritual realms. We know in part, and we know the things and the various little avenues that the Lord has taught us and that we know, and there's little avenues in faith that we walk down, and we've walked down those avenues before, and we know that we know that we know that God's going to do that because we've seen him do that before. In fact, we've seen him do it many, many times. And when you walk down those avenues, it's very, very nice. It's good to have that knowledge and that wisdom of understanding that he can do it. And if he did it before, he's going to do it again. That's very, very good. Amen? But on the other hand, every now and then an avenue will open up that you haven't been down. And when those avenues wake up, open up, those new ventures in the Lord, see, you don't have time to create faith in those situations. Faith has to be embedded in your heart that all of a sudden that you look at the avenue. And what you do is you say, you know, the Lord did this for me last week, and I know he can do this too. So what I call that is encouraging yourself in your faith. Encourage your faith from past experiences. And then encourage your faith with the knowledge of the word that you've implanted in your heart. And the Holy Spirit, oh, wonderful Holy Spirit, what he will do is if you implant the Word of God down in your heart, what happens is he'll bring a scripture up for you when you're in that new avenue. And with your past experience and your knowledge of Jesus and your knowledge of the Word of God, faith springs forth. And Matthew 9:29, as a matter of fact, says, according to your faith, be it unto you. So you see, God expects Christians to grow in their faith. He expects you to grow up, friends. He'll let you lean on Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina and Brother Marshall and other great people that he uses, Brother Bill and his wife, and Pastor Williams and his wife. And we have a lot of people that are close to us that have great, strong, powerful faith. And he will let you lean on them. But each time you get an answer, he expects you to grow in your faith. He expects you to step out. Do you remember whenever they took you out of the playpen? Oh, yeah, there are people that remember those things. My son remembers things like that. I have no memories of things like that. But they take you out of the playpen, and they put you down on the floor, and you look around. Well, first you got to crawl, right? Mm-hmm. So you start crawling around on the floor, and you say, hey, this is fun. And then all of a sudden, Daddy or Mommy picks you up, and they take you by your hands, and they start walking with you a little. Hey, this is even more fun. But then all of a sudden, they let go. And when they let go, the little baby will collapse down to the floor immediately because he has no confidence in that walking yet. So what happens is you put him in your crib, and you walk in there, and all of a sudden, you walk in there one day, and he's actually figured out how to pull himself up and stand on the side of the crib. And then the next thing you know, there he is, walking back and forth, hanging on to the crib. You see, that's the way Christianity is. It comes in increments, just like babies learn. Well, when you first learn supernatural Christianity, that's what you are. You're a supernatural baby. And so that's what we are. We're here to teach you new things all the time. And so God wants you to see that you are, that as he grows your faith, it's going to mean more and more to you daily. But sometimes up in the future, it can be a matter of life and death to yourself or to someone in your family. So faith grows. The Bible says that God gives us a measure of faith, but you see, faith grows after he gives you a little bit. Well, remember the manna that every morning the believers in the wilderness, they would get up every morning and the manna would be on the ground for them to eat. And they would eat the manna and the sun would come up and the manna would melt away. And they would think, oh, well, maybe I can hoard some of this stuff. And they would take it, but it didn't work. They'd have to have the faith to wake up in the morning and know that God would have the manna there for them. But what God wanted them to know is, not only will I have the manna here for you this morning, but I will take care of you each and every day of your life. So as the manna appeared in the ground every day their faith became bigger to believe that it was going to just be there because it was always there. And God was faithful, you see. And so, you see, according to your faith, be it unto you. And a lot of Christians never get out of the crawling stages of Christianity. They never get out of that. And there are leaders that want to keep Christians in that stage so that they can control them, so that they can get you to do things that you don't want to do. Some of them want you that way so that they can get into your pockets and cream you for your dough. There's others that just want to control you. So we need to remember that God is very, very faithful. And as you do the things that we are teaching you to do at Blog Talk, you will find that you will all of a sudden, you'll have faith and a treasure of faith that you never dreamed possible before. Now, in Romans 4:20-21, the Bible says, what does it mean? I'm teaching now, not you, okay? So the people are trying to listen to me. We don't mind you posting, but there's a time to post. And we're trying to keep their minds in the vein of what they're learning, okay? So Romans 4:20-21, the Bible says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him, and that means her too, that believeth. All things. Now, there's another scripture that says that he can do above all that we can even think about, that we can even imagine. God can do things that your mind has never even been able to think about. That's why we have people that are able to invent things, because God will give a man grace to invent things. Now then, on the other hand, you know, the devil's people, they learn how to invent things, but they get their knowledges. Thank you, darling. They get their knowledge directly from the devil, but we get our knowledge directly from God. Do you know that many years ago, I read an article, gosh, I'm looking back maybe 30 years ago, and that article was about Israel. And Israel, it had become a nation in 1948, and it was after I got born again. It was probably in the late 70s when I read the article. But what it said was that some of the Jewish people took the Old Testament and they did research on the map of Israel, and they were able to discover the wells that were shown in the Old Testament. And so until they found those wells, Israel was like a desert. And you know, there's a scripture that says that just before Jesus comes, that Israel would bloom like a rose. And so they researched it from the Word of God. The scientists were able to discover the wells that were shown. And so from the wells, they were able to plant the trees, do the gardening, and reconstruct a piece of land. And so it went, and so it went. Now, when I went to Israel in the 70s, it was probably 73 or 74, as the plane flew over Israel, you could look down and you could see the deserts everywhere. And right in the middle of the desert, as the plane approached into Jerusalem and Israel, you could see the blooms, you could see the trees, you could see the greenery. And the pilot explained to us that you could actually see where the Jewish people lived and where the Arab people lived. And what he explained was this. He said that the nomad Arabs, they would find a place to graze their sheep, and they would come and get the water and eat the roots of the trees, and then they would move on to another place. And, of course, then all of the trees that they had grazed on would die. And but the Jewish people would plant the trees. Now, when I was over in Israel, I went to the Garden Tomb where I had such a wonderful, wonderful time with the Lord there. And what happened was these two men were sitting next to me, and they spoke and they said, "We want to show you something." And so I followed them, and they took me down this little path, and there was a man standing there with a shovel. And I always will believe that was Jesus. To this day, I believe it was Jesus. And he said to me, "I want you to plant a tree here in the Garden of Gethsemane." And so I planted the tree. I think it was the Garden Tomb. I don't know if they're the same. Are they the same? I don't think so. Well, it was the tomb. Anyway, so I planted the tree there. And then the two men said, "We want to take you into the tomb where Jesus was resurrected." Now, all of the people that were with me, they were listening to the guide telling them stories about the Garden Tomb. So I just followed those two men into the Garden Tomb. And there is where I had such a wonderful experience with Jesus. And those two men were angels. And I saw them worshiping Jesus to the level that it never left my mind. I'm going to tell you, I have never seen a human being worship Jesus like that before. And Jesus gave me my commission that he was going to do with me in that Garden Tomb that day. And so when I came out of the Garden Tomb, all of my party had left, and I was all by myself there. And all of a sudden, fear struck me. And I said, "Gee, I don't know a soul in Jerusalem. You can ask Dr. Sabrina." She's shaking her head. When she traveled with me, sometimes she'd have to just take me by the hand and just guide me along, because most of the time I'm walking around in the supernatural with Jesus. And you know, I can't navigate in the world very good when that's going on. So I'm standing there thinking, what am I going to do? And of course, I heard my name called, and somebody in our party said, "We've been looking everywhere for you." And so I reconnected with my group. But you see, faith is such a wonderful thing, and it's those wonderful, delightful things that God does with you when you connect in a spiritual walk with him. He'll give you dreams, and he'll give you visions, and he'll give you inspirations. He will teach you things that you've never known before, and you'll be able to do things that you've never been able to do before. And I have found, since I found the Lord in 1973, I have found, honestly, that the most exciting time of my life was serving Jesus. Now, friends, I've never gotten dead in the spirit, so I've never had to go to a revival. Because every day with me is a revival with Jesus. Now, somebody asked the questions, how were the angels worshiping Jesus? Well, they were kneeling on the ground. They had their hands up in the air. And they were doing things that we do when we worship Jesus. They were saying, hallelujah, praise you, Lord, and things like that. But there was a zeal in that worship that I've never seen before when human beings worship Jesus. And so it was supernatural. And so, you know, when you walk with Jesus, you have to remember that he is a person and that he is God, but he is a person. He talks, he communicates with you, he's concerned about you, he feels things.
He
has opinions, he wants your opinions. See, we don't serve Jesus just absentmindedly. We get in, I get into it with him. I ask him questions, and he answers me. And if he doesn't answer me with a little still voice, he'll answer me through the Word. And this is why you have to get into the Word, so that you get to know Jesus personally. Because there's a lot of things that he can answer you in the Word. And when you see something that you are questioning in the Word of God, it brings your faith alive, and it situates that faith in your heart to spiritual reality because you saw it in the Word of God. Amen. And so the Bible says in Romans 4:21, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that he had promised. He was able to perform. So you see, this little scripture shows you that when something happens, that if you have a reservoir of faith gathered up in your spiritual bank account, that whenever the situation presents itself in your life, you will not stagger. You will not stagger at the promises that God has given to you in unbelief. And it's very important for us to build our faith on the Word of God instead of the experiences of people. Because experiences of people cannot, if an experience, a supernatural experience with a person doesn't line up with the Bible, then you have to chunk it away as garbage. And you have to put it in that little garbage can that your computer mind has, and you have to say, delete, 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 I do not receive that. So you see, there's choices that we make in the line of faith. And the choices would be, yes, I believe God can do anything. I believe, according to his word, not only can he do anything, but he will do it. And he will do it because it gives glory to Jesus, his life, his work, his ability, the fact that he's still alive. And when the person looks at your face again, they can see that you believe it. And see, a non-believer can coast on that little bit of faith that your face is reflecting to them when you're praying for them. And when they see that you know that you know that you know that God is able to perform his word and that he performs it for them because you're the one that prayed for them, they gain a little bit of faith too. And one of the things as a minister that you have to quickly teach people, don't depend on me. I'm not dependable. Depend on Jesus. Sometimes you can reach me. Sometimes you can't reach me. Sometimes I'm in sessions where I'm ministering for hours. Sometimes I forget and leave my phone out in my car, which is most of the time. And so if I'm not around, you got to find Jesus, don't you? So go to the Word, and he'll give you the answers every time. And so here's what the Bible says about faith. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, faith comes, well, the King James says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, this is why when we do deliverances on people or they get a miracle, we say, now you go and let the word of God play over you. Why do we do that? Well, the devil hates that for one thing. But the other thing is, it increases your faith. As you hear the word of God playing over you, it increases your faith. Yes, something really did happen to me today. And not only that, but the Bible says it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you see, the word of God is a supernatural instrument that is given to us for the purpose of faith building. And our faith is built up whenever we do it God's way and not our way. And when you listen to Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina and Brother Marshall and Brother Bill put scriptures up on the chat room for you, we're doing that to increase your faith, and increase your faith so that what I'm saying to you corresponds with the Word of God, you see. It's not some supernatural experience that I had. I was doing a book the other day. By the way, there's two new deliverance books up on Amazon. We'll put it up again when Marshall comes up, but on deliverance, and they're Kindle books, so they're real cheap. You might want to go up there and call them down, because I'm going to put a whole bunch of them up there, because sometimes when you read it and we talk about it and you're reading it, it also helps to increase your faith, because I put a lot of scriptures in my books. But I was mentioning about Todd Bentley. And the angel, Emma O, that might be in a book that I'm getting ready to put up, right? But anyway, Emma O, and how did Todd Bentley meet Emma O? Well, Emma O was the angel that came into his meeting every time ministry, and he would drop angel's dust around. Now, let me tell you something about angel's dust. Angel's dust is worthless because it's supposed to be gold dust. And when we took it to the gemmologist over here, they said it was worthless, that stuff that they were dropping in the meetings, because we went up to, let me tell you where we went. We went up to Brunswick, Georgia, when he was ministering up there, to check him out, because this was a new thing going on in the country. And yeah, sure enough, there was angel's dust falling everywhere. And I almost lost my life to get that information out, by the way, about the gold dust. I was the first one in the country that uncovered the gold dust and the gems that were falling. But anyway, I did that up on demonbusters.com, and I think they still got some of my articles up there. But aside from all of that, we went up there to test the spirits to see what was going on up there. And so Todd Bentley, and we discovered it was phony and false, and that's another thing I don't want to get into now. But Todd Bentley, the way he was introduced to M.O., the third wave movement, that would be Peter Wagner, Chuck Pierce, and people like that. Jack Eckhart, is that his name? Jack Eckhart? The last name's Eckhart, anyway. But some of these people that are third wavers, they all go into this false supernaturalism. Now, friends, there's a real supernaturalism, and there's a fake supernaturalism. And this is fake supernaturalism that they are into. So they all listen to this man called Bob Jones. Now, who is Bob Jones? Bob Jones. What kind of a Bible are you using up there? I never saw anything like that. Sabrina did on the job there. We use the King James Version up here, okay? And so... anyway, that it's distracting to me. Bill is the one that we have designated to put scriptures up, okay? So please. Anyway, Bob Jones was a man that was connected with the Jesus Only movement back in the 50s with William Branham. And he found himself in a mental, and this is his testimony. This is not me writing about him. This is his testimony. He found himself in a mental institution. Now, what he claimed was, this. He said that demons were appearing to him. And he said the demons that were appearing to him that... one day, he said the next day, angels started appearing to him. And he said, and then Jesus appeared to him. And he said, Jesus spoke to him and said, son, if you'll kill 12 men, I'll get you out of this place. Now, he never explained to us what that meant. It could have meant, if you forgive 12 men, that could have been that. I don't know, because he never explained it. But the thing that he did was he got out of the mental institution, and he came down to the third wave group, IHOP. You all know that group with Bickle, who is just insane. Well, anyway. They made him a prophet because he was an older man coming out of the Branham ministry years back. Now, as he was a prophet in that ministry, he was discovered that when young women come in, he would tell them to disrobe and he would give them a prophecy. And, you know, some of these people are so crazy calling themselves Christians that the young women just disrobed, but he was caught. And so he was taken down as a prophet out of that ministry. But he shows back up in other ministries like Todd Bentley and Dr. Patricia King, who was Todd Bentley's pastor. And so this guy that was seeing demons one way and angels the next, he tells Todd, he says, Todd, he says, I go into the third heavens every day. do you want to go to the third heaven? And Todd said, yes. And Dr. King said, yes. And so he took both of those individuals up into the third heaven, which is the Lord has shown me that it's the second heaven that they're going in where the demons are. And so what happened was the Lord told me that when a human takes another human into the third heaven, that their human spirit is captured over there. And a different spirit comes back and takes dominion in that person's spirit. And they will see Jesus. Their human spirit will see Jesus at the judgment day. So there's many people today walking around that have a different spirit. A different spirit. And it's not the Spirit of God. And so I believe this, and we see him here in Jacksonville, Sabrina and I, about once a month out in the restaurants. And so let me get to Todd Bentley and the MO thing. Todd Bentley, Bob Jones came to Todd Bentley, and he says, Todd, he said, I want to introduce you to an angel called Emma O. And he said, this is the angel that ministered with John G. Lake and with William Branham. Would you like to meet him? Her. Yes. So he introduces him, and Emma O becomes the minister angel, the false ministering angel that is ministering with Todd Bentley. And so whenever I discovered about Todd Bentley, the Lord sent me to go research Emma O. And Emma O was an angel that was a Japanese angel, a fallen angel that was the judge of hell. She has a twin sister called Emma O. And the twin sister called Emma O evidently was the one that was ministering with Todd Bentley. Now, whenever he started going around the country and I started exposing him, one of the issues that I and others had was that in the Bible, there are no female angels shown. And the one that's shown, I believe it's over in Ezekiel, it shows two women with wings like a stork. The Bible doesn't say that those are angels. And you have to know that in the Bible that storks are dirty birds. And I believe that with a lot of study, and I've done some work on it that I don't want to get into because I'm getting on so many avenues right now. But two women, what they are in the Bible is it's a system. It's the system of finances that are flown from the west over into the east into Babylon. And those, one is, I believe, the system of Catholicism, and the other one would be the system of Protestantism, the backslidden church. Not the Bride of Christ, but the backslidden church. And so these two women, and churches are referred to as women, they take the ephod, which is the money systems of the West, and they fly them into Babylon. Well, I can tell you that that has already happened in Scripture. When George Bush created the embassy, which is 80 football fields big in Iraq, I believe it's the palace where the Antichrist will rule. He created that over there. Many people lost their lives, both Iraqis and Americans. But the money was flown over, started being flown over to the East a week before Bush retired, or 2 weeks, I think, when he came out on the floor and he said, we have to have $7.5 trillion, else the country's going to go down. And the American people rose up, and the military complex said, no, if you do that, we're going to call martial law on you. And the Congress and the Senate chickened, and they gave them $8.5 trillion, and it was flown out of this country to the East. And then when Obama came in, he has flown about $27 trillion. The last I looked, and it's probably more now. So the money from the West has already left the West and has been flown to the East. So, but let's get back to M.O. 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 is a spirit, that angel that weighs souls that are dead. And according to the soul's life is to the depth of hell, that the Japanese say that they take the souls into hell. M.O. is represented or helped by a bunch of demons called Onis. And I wrote about all of this stuff. And the Onis were little things, little demons that look like UFO creatures with the big eyes, little round faces. As a matter of fact, Bob Jones looks like an Oni in the flesh. We laugh about it when we see him out in the restaurants. But the point that I'm getting at is this is a fake move. Now, you hear us whenever we're praying, we'll say, Father, would you send your warring angels? Would you send your warring angels to protect the person that we just delivered and fight against the demons that are fighting against that person's soul? You'll hear us say things like that. What would be the difference in what we're doing and what the people in the third wave are doing is just simply this. The Bible says that only God has the authority over angels. Even Jesus, when he was on the earth, remember he said, I could have called 10,000 angels. Remember that? I could have asked my Father to send me 10,000 angels. So if Jesus had to ask his Father to send the 10,000 angels, we have to ask the Father to send the 10,000 angels. Well, the difference in what we do and what this false move is doing is that they angels just appear to them, and they come with all kinds of names. Like Bob Jones had an angel after the stock went down and after the money left the country called the financial angel. Bentley, whenever Carl Strader said, you can't use the angel M.O. on the platform in this church anymore because we had exposed it, and people started complaining. So he just chunked M.O. away, and he said, we're going to California, and the angel of liberty is going with us. And so angels come with all of these modern names. One of them said an angel with little green boots appeared to them. They go on chariot rides all over the world. In fact, they can take you on a chariot ride as well as a third world trip. It's a religion of amusement park. It's a religion where they can physically, supernaturally introduce you to spiritual thrills. But it's not Jesus. And when you step into those spiritual thrills, you're going to be hooked by the spirits of the devil, the angel of light comes. And so I told you all of this because not only do you have to get close to Jesus so he can guide your life into all truth, but you have to get close to Jesus because there's two spirits. And last week we talked a little bit about the supernatural being, and that was Satan. And Satan has lots of supernatural beings serving him. So you're in a spiritual world. Now let me just quickly go. Bill Pringles put that scripture up. Zechariah 5:9. Then I lifted mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came two women. Now, it doesn't say they're angels at all. It says two women. And the wings, the wind was in their wings. Well, you know witches fly. You know that. They come out of their bodies and they soul travel. And then it says they had wings like a stork, and the stork is an evil, unclean bird in the Bible. And then, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. So they took the money from the west, and they flew it to the east. So the finances that we're depending on right now through the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not federal at all, it's owned by the bankers. There's six banks ruling over the world. They've taken their money out of America, and they're trying to get the gold now. And what happened was our government is being run by these people. And so our Treasury man stood by Bush, as did the Federal Reserve head, and they advised the president to take these trillions of dollars and get them out of the country, which we did. Now, the thing that I'm telling you is this, that supernatural beings are ruling over these situations. Mm-hmm. That wasn't George Bush that made that decision. That was a demon that he serves, and that was demons that they serve that made that decision. I saw the head of the Federal Reserve giving a report on television one day, and I saw a shadow standing on one side of him and a shadow standing on the other side of him, and he was on television. But the Lord opened up my eyes so that I could supernaturally see. Although he was doing the words, there were supernatural beings that were motivating what he was saying. Okay? So this is supernatural Christianity, and you've got to be close to Jesus. And the only way that you can have a close relationship with the Lord is fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Psalms 111, verse 10, and then Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then look at this promise that the Lord gives us. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, now listen, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm quoting from the King James Version of the Bible, and that's the Bible that we use up here. And this is the Bible that we recommend everyone to use so that we can all be in one accord. And so, in other words, there's two spirits. Sabrina, they're saying I'm cutting in and out. And so tell them to refresh their, just refresh. And now, here's the thing. We're going to go up and we're going to tap into our co-host now. I'm sure that he has some things to say about faith. All of us, Dr. Sabrina, myself, him, Pastor Williams, Izzy Williams, and Brother Bill Pringle, we've all seen great mighty miracles because we believe. And so we want to increase your faith. And what we want to do is encourage you to also, we want you to come up for ministry, but we want you to encourage other people what God's doing in your life and what he did so that other people can be encouraged in their faith too. Let me find our co-host. 610, you're on the air.
Good evening, Pat.
There's Marshall. Yay!
Hi there, Dr. Sabrina.
How are you doing, Marshall?
I am blessed and highly favored and rapidly improving.
That's a good confession.
Yeah, that's what I need to... Well, it's true. I mean, he's working on me. He's not done yet, but I'm a work in progress, so excuse the dust.
Well, can everybody hear Marshall? Dr. Sabrina can hear him. How's the chat room? Can you hear? Yes, everybody can hear you. And so, you know, I know that you're just champing at the bit to add your 2 cents in, because God will anoint it to give us some faith. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Brother Marshall.
Hi, Marshall.
Hi, Dr. Sabrina.
Yes.
Help us out.
And I'm going to turn my mic off so that they can hear you a little better, okay?
As you wish, and you can feel free to jump in whenever you want.
I'll come back in, but I'm turning it off a little bit.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, Heavenly Father, we come joyfully and boldly before your throne of grace in time of need. I ask you to show me what you want me to share, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the revelations that he gives. And he does do that. And I didn't know he did, but he does. You know, I've heard different people's testimonies, but when it comes close to home, you know, I mean, it starts little. It always, you know, he builds things. You know, it's like, you know, if you're building a little castle on the beach or something, you have to start with a little bunch of sand and you put some more. But we're building, you know, he's working his faith into us. Let's just put it that way. And we have to, this faith thing is more than just a nice idea, okay? It says the just shall live by his faith. Over in Habakkuk, I think it's 2:5, the just shall live by his faith. And it says in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, that is the anointed one, liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the Holy Spirit has been trying to open my eyes. I think, you know, we need to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart to respond, you know, so that we can be converted and be healed, right? Well, he's been working on me little by little, and I think the simple truth is that there are some people out there preaching, you know, preaching faith, you know, faith, my faith. But what's their faith based on? I don't know. I'm not quite sure what their faith is based on. But we're supposed to believe in what he has faith in. What does Jesus, who is the eternal Word, who's from everlasting, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, That's in John 1:1. And then in verse 14 of John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, his faith is in the blood covenant. His faith is in his Father and in his Father's name, because Father God sent Jesus in his name. And that's not just a nice little thing to do. It's really, really critical, because the name indicates who that person is and also indicates the authority. Remember all those scriptures that said Jesus didn't teach like the Pharisees. He taught as one who had authority. Well, why does he have authority? Even the Pharisees and scribes, they came to him and said, you know, tell us who gave you this authority and why do you do these things? And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you if you tell me this one thing, you know. John the Baptist, was what he was doing, was that from heaven or was that of men? You know, was that just his idea? And they better not say, you know, it was just his idea or it was, you know, a demon or something, because the people thought he was a prophet. And they couldn't say it was from heaven because none of them had bothered to go out and get baptized. They hadn't. And by the way John the Baptist baptized, he baptized with the people going into the water, submerging, and confessing their sins as they went in. In other words, they repented. They turning from whatever it was that they were convicted of. And John the Baptist was out there preaching, you know, about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's why Jesus did so many mighty miracles, because Jesus came right on his heels. The people were repented up. You know, they'd examined their hearts, just like we're told to do in 1 Corinthians 11 before we have communion. Not while we're having communion, before we have communion. We're supposed to examine our hearts so we won't have to be judged, okay? We get to judge ourselves, which is a good thing. So then Jesus doesn't have to take us out behind the woodshed and say, now, Marshall, you missed it again. But the faith thing is really important, because Jesus has faith in his blood. And how do I know that? Well, and Father God has faith in the blood of Jesus. This is really critical. There's a scripture in 1 John 4:10, and let's see here, that comes right after Hebrews and after Peter. 1 John 4:10, it's a wonderful verse. It says, herein is love. Not that we loved God. You know, everybody say, God, I love God, you know, work at it. You know. No. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's the substitute. He's the sacrifice. He's the atoning sacrifice for my sins and every other believer in Jesus and his blood covenant. Okay? And then it says over in the gospel, not the gospel, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, a lot of people know, I mean, I'd heard these many times, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that's true. You know, we've all missed the mark in the past, but we're not supposed to stay there. But that's what it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a very, you know, commonly used in evangelism to help people wake up to the fact that, you know, we need righteousness, and we're not going to get it the way we think we are, at least the way most people have been taught, which is something we need to work on. But then the next couple of verses, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means we're purchased back from something, okay? We used to be slaves. He bought us back, okay? Whom God has set forth. Who set forth? Father God set forth who? Jesus. To be a propitiation through what? Through faith in his blood. Who? Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. Not Marshall's, not Pat's, not Dr. Sabrina's, not Brother Bill. Through faith in his blood, the blood of Jesus, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Father God has faith in the blood of Jesus. That otherwise Jesus wouldn't have to shed his blood. And you say, well, you know, there's one fellow out there who some people say he's a great Christian. And I used to think, well, he's probably a Christian. He's preaching a lot of word. He's a word man. He's always preaching about the word, you know, about faith. and about, you know, we can get all kinds of prosperity here and now. And I'm not saying that's not part of the gospel. It is part of it. But that's not the main emphasis. If we're controlled by a spirit of greed, or if we're controlled by a spirit of covetousness, then we're probably going to miss out on heaven, okay? That's a very dangerous motivation, okay? The motivation has to be a relationship with Jesus. You know, if he wants to bless us, that's great, you know, and if it happens to be finances and stuff, that's fine. You know, we have a better covenant founded upon better promises, and there's a scripture back when the Israelites got back pay for 400 years or so of being slaves in Egypt, and when they left Egypt, it says there was, first of all, not one feeble one among them. I think it's Psalm, I guess I need to find the address for that in case somebody else is curious about that. Psalm 105 or 104, it's one of those. I think it's 105, verse 37. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 10. See, Marshall doesn't really remember all this stuff, but I have the Holy Spirit to teach me, and that's what he does. So Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. So I'm not saying that, you know, he can't bring us forth, you know, with what we need, but the most important thing is, what is our faith based on? Whose faith is it? God has faith in the blood of Jesus, and Jesus's blood is not ordinary blood, okay? And the reason I know that is over in Acts 20:28, and I've mentioned this before, but just in case somebody doesn't know, I just want to make sure they take a look in the King James, Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, because he purchased us with his own blood, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Did you get, I mean, the grammar is really clear. To feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with God, his own blood, with God's own blood. This is not the blood of a man. So there are some preachers or people who put themselves forward as being preachers who say, well, my blood is just as good. I could have, any born-again believer could have shed his blood and died, and it would have been just as good. Well, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. It's a lie. I'm sorry, but it's a lie. It's another gospel. And over in Galatians, it says in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calleth you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, here's something about angels again, isn't that interesting? Preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's a curse written in Scripture for anybody who preaches a false gospel. Well, anyway, Jesus has faith in his blood. I'm just going to touch on a couple scriptures about that pretty quick here. In Matthew, let's see here, Matthew 20, starting verse 17 to verse 19. I usually remember Matthew 20:19 because I can remember 19:20. I just got to flip it around because that's the way it happens to work out here. Remember the address for that one. Anyway, Matthew chapter 20, starting verse 17. And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took, this is, he's in his earthly body, okay? He's walking along here. Jesus going up to Jerusalem, that means the flow of peace. And remember, he made peace by the blood of his cross. There's a connection here. And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, and now Jesus speaking, verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, he's talking about Jesus, about himself, of course, this is God, the Father, speaking through him, because Jesus only speaks the word his Father gave him to speak. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, verse 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So he's foretelling his crucifixion. And it also, if you go forward to Matthew 26:2, a second verse of Matthew 26, if I can find it, it's here. It's also red letters, Jesus speaking. You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And in the Gospel of John, right near John 3:16, everybody knows, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, just before that, Jesus says in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he was foretelling how he would die, and that's also confirmed elsewhere in the Gospel of John, which I don't remember exactly where that is right the second. It says, and if I think it's in chapter 12, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will, thank you, Holy Spirit, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up from the earth, and by this he was foretelling his, where is that, Lord? Yeah, here it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, that's awesome. chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. This is right after it thundered, and they thought somebody, you know, Father God was speaking just before that. Jesus, I'm going to go back to verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said it thundered. And others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Verse 31 of John chapter 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Thank you, Lord. And I, this is verse 32, this is where I was heading. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus foretold many places that he was going to die. And he specifically said over in Matthew, in those two places I mentioned, Matthew 20:19 and Matthew 26:2, that he would be crucified, that he would be lifted up. In other words, he'd be put on this tree. And that's fulfilling the scripture from Deuteronomy. Cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. He took our cup of cursing so that we can receive his cup of blessing. He had to become sin for us, but he is the perfect sinless lamb. And it's over and over and over again. Hebrews 4:15, in many places, where is that? In 2 Corinthians 5:21. Father God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus had great faith in his blood, because his blood is not ordinary blood, because his Father is God, God the Father. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. The scriptures foretold of his coming for a long time. So I just wanted to mention that this is really critical. To have faith in his blood. This is not like, you know, just a nice little churchy thing you do once in a while to have communion or something. This is absolute. This is great power in the blood of Jesus, in the spirit realm. Okay, and apparently, you know, the enemy counterfeits or copycats whatever, you know, is real in the spiritual things. They try and do the same thing, because I know the book that Pat put out. Some time ago, when it was talking about people on the dark side and how some voodoo priest or whatever, they would do a sick mocking of communion and taking disgusting stuff into them. So, but it's really, really, really important to understand what faith is based on. It's based on our relationship with Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. The word even is added there, even to them that believe on his name. The believing on his name is not optional, I believe. You know, I didn't really understand his name till the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation. And his name, Jesus says in many places, but in John, the clearest one is in John, well, one of the clearest ones is in John 8:58 when he's talking. He said, for as much then as... let me just go read it. It's easier that way. I'm going to go back a verse or two. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees in John 8. I'm reading verses 56 to 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. Now this is somebody who can never lie. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. if you've received the love of the truth, this has got to mean something to you. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So there's several key verses from the Old Testament that tie into these three verses. And one is that Father Abraham met Melchizedek over in Genesis 14:18, and they had bread and wine. Okay, so that's representative of the blood. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He identified himself as I am, the eternally existent one. These pastors that said their blood just as good, or the people who pretend to be pastors, whatever they are, maybe they've repented, maybe they really are pastors now. I don't know. I haven't followed it recently. So I pray for them, and I'm hoping the Holy Spirit brings conviction and they actually turn to Jesus and preach the real gospel. Now, I mean, at least Jesus is being mentioned. That's good, but they definitely has misled a few people to think that a blood of some regular human being could have any effect. It's only the blood of God, the uncreated one. Jesus was not, he was the only begotten Son of the Father. He became the Son of God, but he's always been the eternal Word. So anyway, once the Holy Spirit showed me that the way Jesus' name is written in Hebrew, and this is one of those revelations, is that if I am is written in Hebrew as the Aleph, it looks like a Scottish cross, and then the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the letter of grace. And, you know, for by grace we are saved through faith. And you can see that grace because they put his name on the lintel and posts of the houses in Egypt before the Israelites came out of Egypt. They had the blood of the Lamb, a type of the blood of Jesus. He's the Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And that blood is what's so powerful. Well, since the Lord has been teaching, not just me, I'm just one person, you know, he's doing it for the body of Christ, but he's taught several of the people I've been, you know, the Lord happened to put me with about how important this is, that it's the blood of God that protects us, okay? It's the blood of God that brings us into union with him, because the scripture in Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you, God speaking, I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And one of these false preachers says the blood doesn't atone. Well, the scripture says it does. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the holy, inspired word of God from the authorized version of the Bible? Are you going to believe some guy who may possibly be under the influence of an antichrist spirit, somebody who's putting a different gospel out? So, but once you catch on, and once the Holy Spirit begins to get your attention, and you say, wow, this is really awesome. I'm just going to give you a real quick example, and I get back to what I think is more of the meat of it. But some people need to know this is important for right now. This isn't just for the by and by. There's a scripture in, I think it's 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, the life which now is and the life which is to come. So this is profitable for right now, while we're walking around in these, in our first earth suits, you know what I mean, before we get our heavenly bodies, you know. Just yesterday, I prayed with my wife according to Matthew 18:19. Pat was talking about this on Wednesday. Matthew 18:19 is a very powerful verse. The Lord says, again I say unto you, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And I believe this is written for believers, okay, for Christians who actually believe. So, well, we needed some items, and we didn't know where they were. Well, I don't remember everything. I'm just a person, okay? I mean, I remember, I'm grateful for the mind the Lord's giving me. I'm not trying to belittle how he's created me. I'm appreciative, but he knows everything, okay? So we couldn't find some items. You know, we talked about it, and so we prayed. We prayed about one thing, and the Lord inspired my wife to say one thing, and I said, oh, that's right. What we're looking for may not be folded up. It may be hanging on a hanger. And so I went looking, and within moments we found it. And another thing we needed, and we prayed again, according to that promise. And I thanked the Father. By the way, when I pray to the Father in Jesus' name, it's because of the blood of the covenant.
you know, in Jesus' name is not just a little something you tack on. It means that you're in covenant with him, because his name is I Am, and it's written in blood. You know, it's the way they wrote his name on the lintel and posts of the houses in Israel. That's what protected them. Well, I have his name on my lips at least once a day with the grace of God. And sometimes it's by faith. I mean, it doesn't have to be wine or grape juice or something, and it's not literally the blood. Well, Jesus did speak everything into being, so I'm not going to argue with him. But I'm not into transubstantiation. Don't get me wrong. It's the Catholic version, Roman Catholic version, is close, but they're off in some areas, unfortunately. Because their whole gospel message, from what I've heard, I have many friends up in the Northeast who are Roman Catholics, and you know they think they're saved by works and not by what Jesus did. I'm not quite sure how they get that. I mean, yes, we're going to be judged by our works, but that's not how we're saved. Anyway, we're saved by grace. We're saved by His blood. And by the way, we can see His grace. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, we prayed. We found the items we were looking for very quickly. And this has happened over and over again for us. I was with my mother-in-law. She couldn't find a credit card or something. This was months ago. And we prayed, and boom, there it was. And my daughter lost her cell phone. And in fact, she was so sure we'd never find it. She was she had done everything humanly possible to get back to getting it. You know, she had gone through with another cell phone, ringing the number for 2 hours, retracing the steps, you know, and it was on, it was turned loud, and she couldn't find it, and she said, "You'll never get it." And I said, "No, I guarantee on the Word of God, based on Matthew 18:19, because of the blood of the covenant, that tomorrow morning when we go there, we'll find it." She wouldn't even go with us. So we had to go. My wife and I went. We didn't have to, but I went because the Lord said He would do it, and we did. We found it within moments. I mean, I was actually pleasant. I knew we'd find it, but I had no idea we'd find it so fast. And then just yesterday, I stopped to get some food for a pet we have, and there was a young lady there with some friends from a local college, and she had a used car, and it wouldn't start. And I said, "I'm so sorry. I just took the jumper cables out of my wife's car just that day because I needed the space in the back, and it sounded like that's what she needed." And I went into the store, and I came out, and there was a nice lady who stopped by who had some new jumper cables, and she never used them before, so I helped them with that, and it still wouldn't start. And I was quite surprised. I mean, you have to understand, part of my training in the way in the past, decades ago, I went to an mechanic school, auto mechanic, so I understand a little bit about that. Hang on a second.
Okay. Hello.
Sorry. Hi there. Hi there. I got a little interruption, momentary thing. Consider it all joy.
Okay. Well,
anyway, I just want to finish about this one story about this young lady. So I was in there, and I said, "Are you turning the key? Does it have a push? What's going on?" So I went in, and then I prayed while I was in the car, and we took off the jumper cables. We said, "Well, I guess that's that." But I had prayed. And as we're walking away, she turned the key another time, and it started right up. So, I mean, that was, you know, I asked the Father in Jesus' name, and He performs His word. And that's what I've discovered, is that we have to make sure, you know, hopefully sins are remitted or repented of or whatever. You stand on what He said in His word. He performs His word, and you thank Him for it. Because it's not my goodness. It's His righteousness. It's His blood that makes any Christian righteous. And that's the amazing thing. And that's what delivers us, you know, from the wiles of the enemy. We overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives as much as His life. We love he's the preeminent one. Anyway, sorry about the interruption. Welcome back, Pat. Okay, well, whatever.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah.
I heard you go off, so I came back up. When you came back up, I went back off.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know how much There's a few other aspects, but the main thing is that I've heard other people's testimonies, and it starts with something little usually. You know, I mean, decades ago, somebody prayed for my wife. I didn't know God did miracles today. You know, I didn't know it was available. And some man prayed for my wife, and her leg was lengthened right in front of our eyes. This was like 30 years ago. You know, and she used to limp, and she doesn't limp anymore. And that, he took care of it. But I didn't know that was available for me for decades and decades. You know, I'm not the quickest learner in the block, you know. But I'm learning. And I'm so grateful. It says, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. You know, that's one thing that, I don't know if anybody can receive this. There's a scripture back in the Old Testament. I can look it up sometime. I'm not going to, just a quickie here. There's a scripture about when the Jewish people were being really rebellious, there are more than one place, but they were having sexual relationships with the Midianite women out of wedlock. They weren't supposed to marry, you know, the people that weren't in covenant, let alone having sexual relationships with them. There's one, a prince of the people of Israel was having a relationship with this woman who was a daughter. She's like high level, a Midianite, and right in front of the people, it says the people were weeping before the door of the tabernacle, weeping before the Lord. And Phinehas, I think it was, the son of Eleazar, the priest or whatever, it said he was zealous for the Lord, and he went right into the tent where this prince of Israel was with this Midianite woman, and he took a javelin, and it said, and he thrust it through right in the middle of their bellies. And it said, and the plague was stayed because blood was shed. And that's a really harsh thing, but that's back under the old covenant. Blood always had to be shed to stop the wrath of God. That's why the angel of death stopped when it got to the Israelites' houses, when it had blood on the lintel and posts, because it said, gee, they already died. I don't have to kill them, okay? Because our Passover lamb, he's a substitute for us. He died in our place. Well, when I saw that, and then the Holy Spirit prompted me to remember. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and I guess the centurion or one of the Roman guards, whatever, came with a spear and thrust him in the side? And I thought, oh, for those times, you know, that I did things that were an abomination to the Lord before I came, you know, into the body of Christ, you know, before I repented, Jesus was pierced, so I didn't have to be pierced. Just like that Israelite was pierced with that javelin, Jesus was pierced with a spear. And that suddenly hit me as being much more graphic. And it says he made peace by the blood of his cross. I think that's in Colossians 1:20. And he himself is our peace. That's the thing that makes peace with God, is the blood of Jesus. Because Father God sees the blood and he says, you know, we used to sing, you know, I no more see the thing you've done, I only see the blood of my crucified son. We used to sing this song years ago. And it was a nice little song, but I didn't get it. It didn't hit me personally until I realized, oh, Jesus really did take that for me. I heard about he grew up as a Muslim. And he was living in the island of Cyprus or someplace over there, you know, not too far from Israel. And they were displaced when Israel was founded in 1948. His father had to leave, and they moved to this island. And anyway, he had a profound relationship. He had an encounter with Jesus, and he couldn't deny that Jesus was real. And his father was going to disown him because, you know, a good Muslim boy brought up by, you know, he'd been... His father was fairly well-to-do. You know, he had acres of orange groves or whatever, and it sent him to American University. He came over. He ended up going to a tent meeting and see some little boy whose leg was withered away, and the healing evangelist in the tent prayed for him in Jesus' name, and he saw this boy's leg. You know, he knew this wasn't pretend, because the little boy had been sitting like a row right in front of him or something. He thought everything else was, you know, actors. And there's a lot of that goes on in the world. There's a lot of acting that goes on, and there may be a lot more of it than most people know. But anyway, but this wasn't acting. He saw this little boy, and he went up, and he had one leg was normal, the other leg was like just practically skin and bones, and he had a brace on it. And he went up, and this guy told him to take the brace off, and he prayed for him, and he saw this boy's leg like somebody like blew it up like a balloon, but it wasn't. It was just skin and, you know, it was a flesh and blood thing. And the little boy didn't need a brace, and he could walk around, and people were praising the Lord. And he knew that Jesus was real. He couldn't deny what he'd just seen. You know, it says the Jew requires a sign. Well, I guess he may not have been Jewish, but it certainly affected him positively. Let's put it that way. He saw a miracle. That's usually why Jesus does miracles for unbelievers, to get their attention. Hey, I'm real. Anyway, so the thing that hit in his testimony, Akif, I think was his name, something like that, he said his older brother came to tell him, you know, the father is not going to put up with this nonsense anymore. Either repent, come back to worshiping this false god. I don't even like to name the name of the false gods. The scripture says we're not supposed to even name them, which is why on Resurrection Sunday it's kind of an abomination what people call it. You know, happy whatever, we're not supposed to call that because that's the name of a false god. It's just a little sideline. You can read the find the scripture. I can look it up if you want later, but... But the thing that really hit me was when his father came to meet this young man, he was a college student, and his older brother was there. The father went to say, if you don't deny Jesus, you know, I'm disowning you. And he said, Father, I love you, but I can't deny the fact that Jesus is real. And he's, you know, he's God the Word. He's come in the flesh. And he does miracles today. And so his father went to spit in his face to say, you know, I disown you. I don't want anything to do with it. Ultimate, you know, Jesus was spit on, right? It's a sign of disgust, of rejection. And, of course, Jesus was despised and rejected. So this father rejected his own son, but the older brother stepped in between and took the spittle in his face for his younger brother. And that young man said that was an example of Jesus to him, because that's exactly what Jesus did for him. He took the total rejection that man experienced, not just that his brother did, but that Jesus really took it for him. And that's what he does for each one of us. He takes all the worst things we all have deserved in the past, but once we repent and receive Jesus and believe on his blood covenant, then he's there for us. He becomes our best friend. And he really is. It says over in John 15:13, Jesus says, no greater love hath any... This is Jesus speaking. No greater love hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says in John 10, around verse 17, I think it is. It might be 14, but John 10, I think it is. I guess I should look it up. Help me, Lord. He said he had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. And that's really amazing. In fact, it's extremely profound. When you stop to think that the life of the flesh is in the blood, the word life in the Hebrew is nephesh. It means the soul. He gave his soul in exchange for your soul. He purchased you with his own blood. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, around verse 18 or something. Let me see if I can find the John 10 thing here. Maybe that's not where it is. Therefore doth my Father love me. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. John 10:17. Jesus speaking, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, I don't know any preacher that can do that. You know, I mean, even the ones who would preach the real gospel, I don't know any of them who can lay down their life, their blood, pour it all out, and take it up again. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. Because when he spoke to Saul of Tarsus, remember, he appeared to him as a light brighter than the noonday sun over in Acts 26:13. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul was persecuting the body of Christ, like us. He wasn't persecuting Jesus walking in his sandals, okay, the carpenter from Nazareth. He was persecuting all the followers, you know. So that is a very profound insight, and I didn't get that one. I got that one from a brother who's from Nepal, who'd come to believe in Jesus, because somebody spoke the written word of God to him. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. I'm sorry, there's no reincarnation except for demons. Demons can come back, yeah, they come back. Many generations, 70 generations, they're passed on from father to son and whatever. Pat talked about some woman who was in a relationship with a man who'd been in Freemasonry, and when he died, she had her hand on his foot, and some spirits entered into her, because when the person's dead, the spirits are looking for a host, you know, like a parasite is looking for something to manifest through. And because that's what sin is, by the way. Sin is, like a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's a spirit. It's a disembodied evil spirit, and it's looking to manifest. And, you know, it's looking for someone to manifest through. Well, even I, as a believer, didn't know the difference between my prudence and the real me for many years. But that's what it is. And once we repent, guess what? You can cast it out, and then you can be closer to who you were supposed to be from before the foundation of the world, which is a wonderful thing. It's a God thing. Anyway, you back, Pat?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go off and off, but it's really amazing what faith in the blood covenant will do. It'll give you a confidence in the King, that he's there for you, and he's not going to he said he's not going to leave you nor forsake you, but it becomes a whole lot more real when you realize that his blood is speaking on your behalf. His blood has a voice, it says over in Hebrews, and it does. So praise the Lord.
Well, glory to God. You know, God is so good. We got a couple of calls, and I haven't even given the number out. So the number is 805-292-0300, and we're inviting you to call in for prayer, deliverance, a miracle, healing, or a testimony. And so let's take our first call. Let's see who's 925, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Sherry.
Hey, Sherry, how are you?
Hi. I'm really glad to hear about your sister.
Yeah, you know, God is so good, isn't he?
He's awesome.
I mean, she only had a 5%. I heard the doctor say, you have a 5% chance of getting off of the operating table and no chance if you don't get on it. So we give God the glory. She looks wonderful.
Yeah, that's
thank
awesome.
For
that's
your
so
prayer. Great. We thank you for praying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how are you doing?
There's a few things that have been released.
Yes.
Good message on faith. I've been using all of those verses plus others, so that's a good message tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Do you need specific prayer, or do you want us to just pray?
I'll just see what you get. It's just, yes. I'll just see what you get.
Okay. Okay. And Sherry, are you in the Word like every day? And
I'm in the Word at least probably 2 or 3 hours a day.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. It won't be long before you'll be built up on your most holy faith. That's right.
And I'm in Bible study with other Christians, which I think helps me.
Yeah. Well, Brother Marshall, you want to pray with Sherry?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Father, for what you've done with Sherry so far. We thank you, Father, for giving her hunger and a thirst for righteousness that she would be filled. We thank you, Father God, that you, what you've begun, you're going to carry it on to completion. And we give you praise and honor, Father. And we ask for your inspiration by your Holy Spirit, Father, to pray the way you want, Father, in Jesus' name. We know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We thank you for the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness for Sherry, for Pat, for Dr. Sabrina, for me. We thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for Sherry. We thank you for loving her with an everlasting love. Thank you for the good plans you have for her, Lord, plans for her peace and not for evil, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you're with her even to the end of the world. And thank you, Jesus, for praying to the Father for Sherry and each one of us, that, Father, you would send the Holy Ghost to be with Sherry forever. And, Father, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit to minister to and through Sherry exactly the way she needs, Father, in Jesus' name. That you order her thoughts and her steps, Father God, not only in the natural, but even in her thought process. We command every thought to be captive and subject to the complete obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bind every spirit of vain imagination. We cancel their assignments not only to Sherry, but to all current and future listeners of the Blog Talk Radio broadcast in Jesus' name and all of our family members. We bind, because it is written, a lamb for a house, and Jesus is the Lamb of God for Sherry and her house, and for Dr. Pat and her house, and for me and my house, and
thank
Dr. Sabrina and all our family members. And we thank you.
Thank
we give you praise and honor, Lord, for what you've already done. We thank you, Father, for getting our attention. But, Father, we thank you for drawing Sherry to the Lord Jesus, because it says no man, no person comes to the Lord Jesus save you draw them. And Jesus says, you didn't choose me, Sherry. I chose you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And we thank you, Father. We ask, Father, that you make Sherry to be fruitful in the way that you want by the power of your Spirit, and that you bless her abundantly, Father, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you, Sherry, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I ask the Lord to bless you and everybody that you're blessing through your radio ministry, a millionfold of everything that you guys are doing, because it's really incredible. Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Sabrina wants to pray for you, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift Sherry before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I see this cloud over her that is not you. So I'm going to speak to this cloud and everything in it. Father, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, I take authority and dominion over this cloud. Just like computers have a cloud where things are stored, there's a cloud over Sherry where things are stored that are not of you and not your will for her life. We take authority and dominion over those things. We bind them, we cage them, we chain them with everlasting chains from Jesus Christ, and we command them to go into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone forevermore in Jesus' name. We say none of these things can continue. They cannot hover over her. They cannot recede and then return in Jesus' name. They are forever forbidden in Jesus' name. We bind spirits of fortune telling and soothsaying and stargazing and horoscopes and magic and hypnotism and enchantment and false religion and false cults and rebellion, drugs, sorcery, good luck charms, believing in good luck and being superstitious, those kinds of things, religious articles that are used that are not of God, religious articles to use to cling to the power of God. That's not how we cling to the power of God. It's through faith in his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as you are bringing Sherry out of what once was, that she is walking into the newness of life with you. We thank you, Father, for ordering her steps and determining who her associates may and may not be. Your word declares, Father, that we are to have yet your permission before we choose associates in this life, especially persons that are in close association to us, that we cannot just determine for ourselves who we want to have as our friend and who we don't want to have, just like you determine what dress you want to wear or what dress you don't want to purchase from a dress store. Everything we do in this life, we must bring it before you, especially when we are fresh in the faith, new in the faith, before we have been fully trained in the Word of God. We need to bring our associations and our choices and our beliefs and our philosophies and our determinations and our decisions before you for your approval. For you are our Lord and there is none other. You are our God and there is but one God, the Holy Spirit, and no one can substitute for him. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that as Sherry proceeds in this life, that she will continue to trust you and to believe you above her own opinion and to believe you above her own feelings and to believe you against her own ideas, that she will humble herself, Lord God, continually and stay in your word, not according to her thinking, but as you present yourself in the word. I thank you, Father,
that you
give her permission to do things, she will step where you give permission. She will not take the opportunity to choose a path of her own, but she will walk closely to you, Lord Jesus, and she will place her foot where you say to place it. And she will place the next step where you say to place it, because she will not depend on her own wisdom or her own understanding. And she will not think the way she's used to thinking, but she will trust her thinking, her reasoning, and her logic to you, Lord Jesus. She will surrender her logic, her thinking, and her reasoning to you, Lord, in exchange for your reasoning of the word, your reasoning of logic, your reasoning from the scriptures. I thank you and I give you praise for this new walk that she has, Father, that she's not going to lean on her own understanding, but in every way she will acknowledge you and you will be the one to direct her path. Yes. I thank you, Father, that no spirit of telepathy or ESP or clairvoyance or clairaudience or psychic powers or second sight or hypnosis or self-hypnosis or any homeopathic method or any crystals or remote influence of the subconscious, minds of others, no auras, no kind of metaphysics or mental science or self-realizations or visions or trance dreams or superstition or witchcraft of any nature, of any kind of magic, any kind of charms, any kind of fetishes, any amulets, talismans, mascots, medals, birth signs, spells, incantations, potions, sorcery, curses, materialism. Oh, cough. Are you coughing, darling?
No.
Go ahead. You may. Feel free to.
No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else that was coughing. I don't know who that was.
No, I'm telling you to feel free to cough.
Okay, I'll start coughing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Materializations, ghosts, poltergeists, magic healing, powwows, all spiritualism, all psychic spirits, all pendulums, all diagnosis trance, diagnosis hypnosis, acupuncture, yin-yang, all occult books and literature, music, games, dealing with the occult, horror movies, witchcraft-oriented cartoons, Harry Potter and the like, ritualistic child abuse, human sacrifices, ancestral curses, false prophets, whether they appear as human, as Christians or not, fortune-telling, channeling, death spirits, New Age spirits, humanistic spirits, witches, warlocks, and on, any such spirits. I command you now to come up and out of her and come out from affecting her life in Jesus' name. We cut you off from her. We divorce you from her forevermore in Jesus' name. You have no lot and no part in Sherry in Jesus' name. You cannot share in her life and you cannot share in her promotion in Jesus Christ. You have no effect, no affluence, and no effect in her life in Jesus' name. Are you feeling any better, Sherry, dear?
It feels like there's, I don't know the way to explain it, it feels like there's a rope around my neck, but it actually goes through my spine and then connects in somehow. It just feels like there's like something's pulling me like I'm a slave to somebody.
Father, in the name of Jesus, there is no slavery in Christ Jesus. We sever all slavery and all slave spirits. They are bound, caged, and chained now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, this cord, this chain, this garland, this rope, whatever it may be, we place it into the hands of God, the Holy Spirit. We disconnect it from Sherry forevermore in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ, for your grace, and for the sword of the Lord coming between Sherry and whatever this thing is in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that we send any evil that came with it back against those that sent it to her 10 billion-fold with perpetual repetition in Jesus' name. With perpetual repetition until Jesus comes. We thank you, Lord, that she's set free from this. We disconnect it out of her spine and out of any part of her being, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you send the fire of the Lord to utterly destroy it and burn it to nothing in Jesus' name. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for what you've done, Father, for you are great and mighty God, and you will not have your children to be in any form of bondage at all. Slavery is a form of bondage. Jesus has set the captives free. Sherry has been set free. And every form of bondage that attempts to connect itself and hold itself to her is now utterly destroyed because the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Are you feeling better, dear?
Yeah, it's a little better. Thank you. Thank you. And I have some anointing oil here so I can put some on. Thank you. God
put
bless you.
Put some in your mouth.
Put some in my mouth? Okay. Okay.
All right.
Say, Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost fire.
Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost fire.
Now take a deep breath, and all of those empty places are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and His fire. And burn out all hidden spirits in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and just cough all of them hiding out now. All the chains are broken, the cords, the garlands, the fetters, every binding of her human spirit. I command you to let her spine go, her neck go. We break the yoke around her neck. She is yoked to Jesus Christ, no devil. And by the power of the Word of God, leave. Leave instantly. Take a deep breath and cough it out. Deep. Come out. All. Nothing. I say nothing can stay. Nothing. Nothing can stay. In the name of Jesus, every one of you, everyone, I break the powers of curses and prayer power. I see meditation coming towards you right now from many different groups, and we break it and confuse the enemy, and we forbid concentrated meditation concerning you and who you are. And all that new age power is broken now in Jesus' name. Come out.
Thank you.
Come out. Immediately. Clear that mind. I break. It's like linkages and networks.
Yeah, it's really intense. Oh, yeah. It goes down. Ears.
Around your ears?
Inside, goes through my ears. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. We come against these powers of the networks
that are coming against you in the name of Jesus, and you have to loose. We release confusion into the enemy camp right now. Confusion. Confusion. To the enemy camp. Yes. All the meditation just goes up in the flame of the Holy Ghost. You have no power. You cannot concentrate curses on her. You cannot concentrate your will on her. She's a child of God. And by the authority of the blood of Jesus, we break all your links. We break all of your garlands. We break the network and the vehicle that travels the information from network to network in the name of Jesus. And we cover her mind with the blood of Jesus. And we say that you will loose her totally, totally. Come out. Come out. Everyone, come out. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. She's filled with the blood of Jesus from her head to her feet. Yes, all of the shackles to break away from her. Yes, yes, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come out. Roll out. The legions of demons that are operating against her. You cannot operate against her anymore. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. We give glory to you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. You are wonderfully made, God. You are wonderful to us. And she was made for such a time as this. And every enforcement of this curse. Now, why enforcement of this curse? What you need to do is you need to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I renounce. All the powers.
I renounce all the powers.
Of Satan.
Of Satan.
And his workers.
And his workers.
I renounce the powers of the New Age movement.
I renounce the powers of the New Age movement.
And every single person.
And every single person.
That I have ever linked myself to.
That I have ever linked myself to.
Through meditation.
Through meditation.
And prayer.
And prayer.
I cancel it all out now.
I cancel it all out now.
And you will loose me.
And you will loose me.
And I break each network chain.
And I break each network chain.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
The Bible says that the devil can think.
Says that the Bible can think. The devil can think.
And he can remember.
And he can remember.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I'm asking you to erase my name.
I'm asking you to erase my name.
From all of his computers.
From all of his computers.
And all of his connections.
And connections.
And I break the power.
Can we include the Illuminati?
Yeah, please, whoever.
Okay, I want to include the Illuminati and government. And I just ask that tonight that you erase my name out of all of the computers, the connections, what, active, dormant, ready to activate, backup.
Satellites? From the satellites?
From all the satellites.
And phone connections.
Yeah, they go through my phone and phone connections.
Every connection.
Every connection.
And from all of his workers.
And from all of his workers.
Lord God.
Lord God.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To disconnect me.
To disconnect me.
From Satan.
From Satan.
And every spirit connected to him.
And every spirit connected through him.
Especially.
And especially.
The princes of the powers of the air.
Yep. And especially the princes and the principalities of the air.
Nature spirits.
All nature spirits.
All world spirits.
All world spirits.
And all world powers.
And all world powers. Yep.
The elements.
I'm going to say it's the military and intel. And then what did you want me to say?
The elements.
The elements.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I renounce.
I renounce.
And denounce.
And denounce.
Them all.
Them all.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And Lord Jesus, I thank you.
I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Tonight I renounce.
Tonight I renounce.
Lucifer.
Lucifer.
The angel of light.
The angel of light.
I disconnect myself from him.
And I really want to say Marduk.
Please say what you feel.
I renounce Marduk also. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. Yeah, just the Marduk.
Okay. Her name's Margit.
Huh?
You denounce Margit?
Marduk. M-A-R-D-U-K. Marduk.
Okay. Who is that?
It's another higher form. It's right in there with Lucifer and Satan.
Okay. Okay. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce Gaia.
Renounce Gaia.
Yeah, did I say announce? I'm tired, but...
No. You said renounce, and I started to say announce, but I caught myself, so I said renounce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce all of the earth spirits.
I renounce all of the earth spirits.
The water spirits.
Water spirits.
In the name of Jesus, Asmodeus.
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 Abaddon.
Abaddon.
Apollyon.
Apollyon.
I bind the Beelzebub.
I bind Beelzebub.
And in the name of Jesus.
And Baal. And
yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Baal is right. Go ahead.
And in the name of Jesus.
I renounce them all.
I renounce them all.
I renounce their divination powers over me.
I renounce their divination powers over me and their mind and memory control over me.
I renounce all witches, warlocks, sorcerers.
I renounce all witches, warlocks, and sorcerers.
Hypnotists and chanters.
Hypnotists and chanters.
Magic.
Magic, black and white magic.
Stargazers.
Stargazers.
Zodiac horoscopes.
Zodiac horoscopes.
And all soothsayers.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. All soothsayers.
It's like a fortune teller.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And we bind all the destroying spirits.
All destroying spirits.
We come against the spirits of error.
Spirits of?
Era.
Air, A-I-R?
E-R-R-O-R.
Oh, air. Spirits of air. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Spirits of air.
Destroying spirits.
Destroying spirits.
Reprobate mind. Now,
I'm
going to start just calling and you call for me, okay?
I wanted to just say there's something with, I don't know what it's called, but it's just really heavy-duty chemicals like pharmakia or it's...
Sorcery.
Okay. They're really heavy-duty chemicals. I'm surprised I'm alive.
Did you take drugs, too?
Did I take drugs?
Did you?
No, I mean, I'm a vegetarian, and I just introduced meat back into my diet probably in the last 9 months.
Okay. In other words, you think that they come at night and...
Oh, I know what it is. It's psychotronic drugs. I feel like that I get psychotronic drugs connected into me somehow electronically.
Okay. Are they coming at nighttime?
I don't know that it kicks off just at night. I think it's the worst at night. But I can't say that it's just at night.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break all witches, wizards. We come against warlocks, sorcerers. We come up against everything that would chemically come to her at night and give her psychotropic drugs or any kind of other thing that would have control over her mind. And we disconnect her mind from them in the name of Jesus. And we command those drugs to come right up and out right now. All of them. All of them. Come up. Come up. Come up. Come up. All drugs. Romans 8:15. Come up. Come up. In the name of Jesus. Everything that's having effect over her mind, we bind up this split mind in the name of Jesus. And we command in Jesus' name the spirit of fear to let that mind go right now. Let the mind go. You have no authority. You have no power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come up and out. I don't know. I just saw something. It looked like a hook. Come on out.
They put fish hooks on me and like bungee cords and a bunch of electrical wires and
Okay. We unhook all of these things that she just talked about. Yeah. Nothing can be hooked to her body. Nothing can be hooked to her mind. And we ask you, Jesus, that you come and pull the hooks out of her and that she will not experience any pain when you pull them out in the name of Jesus. All those hooks come right out instantly, immediately, in the name of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. We take authority over all objects that is hooked to her body. Hooked to her ears, hooked to her neck, hooked to her spine, all of them. We unhook her in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. Let me ask you something. Music, what kind of music do you like?
The only music that I'm listening to is praise music, and then sometimes it just gets so intense with my brain that I just listen to something like Mozart.
All right, let me ask you this. Before you got saved, what kind of music did you listen to?
It was always still, very light music.
You didn't listen to heavy metal or...
No, I've always hated heavy metal, and I've always hated... what is that called? I've always hated rap.
What about New Age music?
No, I really wasn't into that. Country Western.
Okay. So you listen to, what do they call it? Not opera, but classical music.
Classical, Yeah, classical.
Okay. Did you ever listen to Wagner?
I think so.
Okay. Now, let me tell you.
I better write this down.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, he was like the heavy metal rock stars of his day. Okay? And he was on the dark side. He was Hitler's favorite classical music. And a lot of people, when they listen to him, they go into deep melancholy, depression, and darkness. And
how is it spelled?
Yes?
How is it spelled?
Wagner is how we would say it. Wagner is how they... Yeah, Wagner. But it's W-A-G-N-E-R. But people that listen to the classical music call him Wagner. When you listen to some of that stuff, now some classical music is very good, like some of them, I can't pull their name, Beethoven.
Yeah.
And Bach.
Bach. Mm-hmm.
And Tchaikovsky. People like that, they wrote for God. They were Christians.
Right.
And I think it was Bach that wrote a symphony a week or whatever, a concert a week for his church to perform. And so there's some of them that are on our side of the light, and there's some of them that are very, very dark. And so you need to pray about the classical music that you're listening to, because what the Lord showed me was dark music. And so that's why I ask you about Wagner. Now, I don't
the
know.
The only thing that I could think of is some of the R.E.M. music that I used to listen to.
That's New Age, right?
Okay. Well, it's actually scripted to music that was more classical, but it's just what the words are. So,
yeah. Okay. I want you to say, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
You are the one.
You are the one.
That gives us art.
That gives us?
Art.
The arts.
And music.
And music.
The angels stand before your throne.
The angels stand before your throne.
24 hours every day throughout eternity.
24 hours a day through eternity.
Singing praises to you.
Singing praises to you.
And you give your people inspiration for music.
And you give your people inspiration for music.
And in the name of Jesus, guide me to what I can listen to.
And in the name of Jesus, guide me to what I can listen to.
And show me not what not to listen to.
And show me what not to listen to.
And I renounce.
I renounce.
All New Age music.
All New Age music.
And any music from classical that was on the dark side.
Any music classical from the dark side.
That I've ever heard.
Any music that I've ever heard, okay.
Stravinsky. He wrote The New World. Stravinsky, I think it's Stravinsky.
Stravinsky. I've heard of Stravinsky. I've listened to Stravinsky.
Okay. That guy's on the dark side, too.
Okay.
And so, Father, anybody, because I don't know them all. I haven't listened to them in years. But any classical music that's offensive, I repent. And I
repent.
Thank you right now for casting all of that darkness out of my mind and clearing my mind with light. Just take a deep cough and cough it all out. Every bit of it. Come out. Come out. All of it. All of it. In the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And we're resisting you, Satan. You have no power over my sister's mind. And you, spirit of the old serpent, the Bible says in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So we're serving the God that is over you, and we bind the strong man tonight over your life, and we command the dragon to go, all those serpent spirits, those snake spirits, the ones in her spine, the ones in her mind, the six of them in your stomach right now, six. I see a white one, a red one, a yellow one, a black one, and a gray one, and a cobra. It's like a cobra.
Oh,
in the
great
name of Jesus. Now you come up. We cut your heads off right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of the stomach. Come out of the stomach. The serpentine spirits, leave. Every demonic being, come out. Yeah, we cut it up. Right wrapped around the chest. Right now. We cut your head and your tail.
It must be in the, what is it, the seven seals in the bottomless pit or something.
The seven serpents.
I think they call it the seven seals in the bottomless pit.
Okay. We break that in the name of Jesus, and you come up and immediately leave.
That's it.
Leave.
Yeah.
Leave.
Oh, man.
Renounced and leave.
You.
You have no authority, no power. All you can do is leave. Take a giant cough and cough all the way down to the stomach. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, and all the peace. Did you ever go out by a river or an ocean in one of those meditation places and meditate with a bunch of people?
Santa Cruz.
What?
I pictured Santa Cruz just now, but I wasn't really meditating.
In the name of Jesus, every attack is bound.
I was
say
definitely attacked there.
The water with some of the people.
I'm sorry, did we go into the water? No.
I mean, you standing by the water, holding hands.
By the water. I felt like I was under attack there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let me tell you, the New World Order, they're very deeply into the nature spirits, and they're very, very deeply into the water spirits. Now, those snakes that we got were water spirits, but there's female water spirits that are connected to the witchcraft, and there's a spirit called Queen of the Sea, and she's the top water spirit. And we break that spirit off of your body, your mind, your spirit, every part of you. And we command that thing to go right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Come up.
In the name of Jesus.
Out. 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 Out the blood. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh boy.
Queen of the sea. The queen of the sea.
Your crown we strip from you in Jesus' name.
Marks. She's
marks. And Father, in Jesus' name, any offering that this sister made to the other side, we cut her off from those offerings now in Jesus' name.
How about any offerings that were made by somebody else?
Yeah, we break those too.
On behalf of me that I didn't give any I didn't give any permission to.
Okay, Father, and any unauthorized or offerings made on her behalf by someone else into that world that is not of you, we cut her off forevermore with the sword of the Lord from those offerings and their meaning and their tithes and their iniquities and their sin and their judgment and their punishment forevermore in Jesus' name.
Altar.
And their altars and their guilt.
Yep.
Jesus.
I break their altars and I break their evil covenants that they created in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And Father, any blood sacrifices that have been made for her in Jesus' name, we destroy their power. We destroy their binding and their agreement in Jesus' name.
Nighttime, when she's on her period, coming and taking her blood.
That's right, in Jesus' name. And from stealing any blood from her, whether she coughs it up, blows it out of
vampire
her nose,
spirits.
Or comes.
I always hear, oh, get some of her blood.
No, we cut every spirit that has come to take her blood. We cut you off in Jesus' name, and we destroy you with the name of Jesus.
Sucking vampire spirits.
Sucking vampires, we cut you off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every spirit that has come to steal her blood, or has gone to retrieve blood from any place where blood can be retrieved, that work powers on her about her life, about her and her life, we destroy you with the power that's in the name of Jesus. We destroy you forevermore with the power that's in the name of Jesus. We release the full power in the name of Jesus against you now. And for you,
come out. You have to go.
Come out.
Yes. And Father, those offerings are to be made to you. And since those offerings were stolen from you, the Bible says that when the thief is found, he must return sevenfold what he stole. So we command those spirits now to return sevenfold the offering that was stolen to Jesus Christ. Because all power, all gold, all silver, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, we must return it to Jesus Christ now. In Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, Sherry, I want to ask you particularly, because I saw an old woman in your life. I think that woman was your grandma. Do you remember anything about your grandma?
There was only one grandmother living from the time I was born, and she was on my father's side.
And what's unusual about her to you?
Well, she was always a really strong Christian Baptist. And She feared the Lord. She read the Bible every day. She had a horrible experience back in the, the southern states, when her three boys were younger. Her husband went out on her with a beautiful, I guess, black woman. And the KKK came after him and told him to either get out of town or stop seeing this black woman. And apparently he He hung himself.
The brother hung himself or the dad?
My grandmother's husband.
Okay.
My grandfather.
Okay, now, you were alive when that went on?
No, because it was when my father was, I believe he was either 10 or 11 years old.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. Are you black or white?
I'm white.
Okay. And
my father's white.
Okay. And your grandma's white.
And my grandmother's white.
So they got
so
after him. They got after him because he went with a black lady.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good idea to do in Georgia in those days, right?
Yeah. Okay, now let me ask you this. Whenever your grandmother told you that...
I never found out. It's funny because I never knew the story from my grandmother never said anything to me and my father never said anything to me. I didn't find out until I was like 20-something years old and I found out through my brother. And the only way my brother found out was through my dad's brother.
Okay, because you mentioned something about the boys. What happened to them?
Yeah, meaning the three boys, my father was one of the three boys.
Oh, okay.
So I had two uncles and then my dad.
Okay. Well, yeah. we take authority over the spirit of fear over you in the name of Jesus. And we break all curses coming from the woman that he was going to have an affair with or did have an affair with. We break all witchcraft powers over this situation that's traveling down from him to you and your brothers in the name of Jesus.
That was the curse. That was the unseen thing that I couldn't see. It came from the woman that was with my grandfather. I didn't even think about that before.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for revealing that today. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. And we break that curse, and it has no effect over her brother's lives or hers, and it comes to an end today. And all of the demons that were released to fulfill the plan, you go into the cage, and all of these demons that we have prayed for tonight, you get right into the cage immediately, instantly, now. Go! Take a deep
Thank you.
Pause.
Yeah, just make sure that they don't put me in the cage. It seems like they always put me in the cage with them.
Okay, we uncage you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
We forbid any human being or any devil to cage you in Jesus' name because you're liberated and you're free. And we ask the Father to send the warring angels to surround you and protect you day and night. And the Lord says, "Lo, I am with you all of your life. I will never leave you or forsake you, even until the end of the world, thus saith the Lord." Okay, brother, Sabrina's got something else. Take a deep breath and fill with the Holy Ghost.
Father, in Jesus' name, you have uncovered one such situation in this sister's life. We now pray for all the other situations that have not been uncovered. Father, all the devils that come from those situations, we bind and cage in Jesus' name. And we put the blood of Jesus between those situations and how they came down the family line, between this sister and her brothers and her siblings in Jesus' name. Father, when you died on the cross, Lord Jesus, you said, "It is finished." And it is finished in Sherry's life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, Sherry, this is what I'm going to say. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
The Bible says.
The Bible says.
That when my mother.
That when my mother.
Father.
Father.
Forsake me.
Did what?
Forsake me.
Forsaked me.
That you
will
take me up
will take me up and adopt
yourself.
Me?
Yourself.
Yourself.
Now, Father, our sister has confessed the word. All the places in her life, Father, where she was forsaken by any parent, any grandparent, any aunt, or any uncle, in any instance and any circumstance, we ask you now to take her part in that, to take her up in that part in Jesus' name. Every circumstance, whether it's verbal, whether it's spiritual, whether it's a physical circumstance or situation, wherever our sister was forsaken by her parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, or any of her other ancestors, we thank you now for stepping into that place and taking her up and her siblings up in that circumstance now, Father, in Jesus' name, because there is no time with you. You are outside of time. And we thank you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling, Sherry. We've got another call.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you. Okay. Let's see. We got Nicole.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi,
Nicole.
Hi, Marshall.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. I'm going to play at a concert, too, tonight. I play fiddle. And the other Nicole's off to go listen to a concert. And you guys are just all talking about music tonight, even in the last person, the last caller. So that's kind of neat.
So you know more about music than we do.
Well, I'm not too much into classical. I play fiddle.
Oh, yeah, that's like they do out in the South.
Yeah, that's right. Play Celtic and bluegrass and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And you and Nicole live by each other?
No. She was just telling me earlier on Skype she was going to a concert too tonight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you want Brother Marshall to pray for you for something? Maybe the anointing. Yeah, pray for the anointing and whatever you feel led, Brother Marshall.
Thank you, Father. We thank you for Nicole, Lord. We thank you for the talents you've given her, Lord. And we ask for that anointing by your Spirit, Father, to bring the music from heaven down. From your heaven, the real third heaven, to play through Nicole. It will be a blessing to everyone that hears, Father, not just tonight, but at all times, Father, in Jesus' name, and that you make her a clean vessel for your music to flow through, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you baptize her afresh, that the Lord Jesus baptize her afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, in Jesus' name. We thank you for doing so in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So I thank you for doing that, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Marshall.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. God bless you all.
God bless.
Okay, God bless.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I just got a message that... The chatter, they call it, up on the internet, is that nukes may be set for U.S. May 6, according to Navy SEAL. And so maybe you need to pray for that, Marshall. Pray for our nation.
Thank you, Father. Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace because of the blood of the covenant. We thank you, Father, for Jesus' promise. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Father, for the blood of the covenant. We thank you for you said, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst. We thank you for appointing salvation for walls and bulwarks. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Father God, that those that are members of the body of Christ. And we pray and ask you to forgive the people of this nation, particularly the body of Christ, in many areas, Father God, all areas where we've fallen short. Please forgive us, Father, because of the blood of the covenant, and cancel their curses. And I remit their sins, Father, according to your scripture in John 20:23, in Jesus' name. Because whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And Father, we ask you, Father, by the blood of Jesus,
this because of the blood of Jesus. And because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven, that you send additional warring angels, guardian angels, all necessary and beneficial angels, including the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about them, that fears him and delivers them. And I have a holy fear of you, Father God, and of you, King Jesus, and of you, Holy Spirit. I ask you to send the angel of the Lord to deliver the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ in this country from the wiles of the enemy, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, deliver us from all the wiles of the enemy in all areas, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in all areas, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, not just for those that are listening right now, but and especially for Sherry, who called in just a little bit ago, Father, that you're doing a great work in the body of Christ, that you, Father God, renew us in the spirit of our minds, and you inspire us by your Holy Spirit to pray the way you want, Father, in Jesus' name, for those in need. And you said in your word, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So because the Jesus Christ of Nazareth is my good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep, and he already has. And since Christ is my life, and that it is appointed unto man once to die, and I'm already dead to sin, dead to taking anxious thought for tomorrow, I cast all my cares on Jesus, and I leave them there in Jesus' name, not just for me, but for the body of Christ in this country. And we thank you, Father, for watching over us and protecting us. We thank you for taking care of your children and delivering us. We thank you for your promise of the blood of the covenant to be a wall of fire round about in the glory and the mist by the power of your spirit, because it's not by human might or human power. It's by your spirit, Father God. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to move. And we ask, Father God, that which is done in secret will be exposed, Father God, according to the promises in your word, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so, Father. We ask that you expose the wiles of the enemy, because we know that no bird can be caught by the snare of the fowler if they see the trap being set, Father God, because even the little birds have common sense, Father God. They're not going to jump into a trap, Father God. So, Father, we ask that you expose the traps. We ask that you expose all the nonsense and the shenanigans that are going on in this country to control people's minds, to try and put a spirit of fear on them, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we bind all these people, and particularly the spirits that are behind the people that are trying to put out these vast, elaborate schemes, Father God, to cause people to go along with their ploys, Father God, all these false flag events, Father God, in Jesus' name, and all the play acting and all the nonsense going on in this nation, Father God, and even involved in other nations, Father God, and we bind all those people as we're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2:6 and according to Psalm 91. Because you said, because he said it, we do set our love upon you, Father God, and upon you, King Jesus, and upon you, Holy Spirit. I worship and praise and bless and honor and reverence you, Father God, in Jesus' name. I worship you, Lord Jesus, and I praise you and I bless you. And I thank you, Father, for sending your good spirit. I thank you for sending the counselor, the comforter, to comfort us, the body of Christ, and to teach us and to guide us into all truth. I ask that you give us supernatural revelations and showing us things to come. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing us things to come, but delivering us from the wiles of the enemy in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for what you've already done and going to do. And we ask that your perfect will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God, in Jesus' name. And you said, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we thank you for doing so. We ask you to do that for every believer, Father God, those that are listening now, those that will be listening in the future, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so, Father God, in Jesus' name. Deliver us from the wiles of the enemy. Deliver us from the schemes and the plans and the plots of the enemy. I ask that they all be exposed, Father God, in Jesus' name, for what they really are. Even as many of these things that have already been exposed from the false flag events going on in this country, Father God, that are not what they appear to be as portrayed by the mainstream media, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for the revelations that you're bringing to light, that you're exposing all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name. and we give you praise and honor. And Father, as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, we bind every spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy in Jesus' name. For the spirits are subject unto us in Jesus' mighty name, the name above all names, at whose name every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is born. I bind the strong man. I bind you, Satan. I bind you, Beelzebub. I bind every foul and demonic spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, not just the widows and the orphans, but every member of the body of Christ and everyone coming into the body of Christ. I bind every foul and unclean and perverse spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. God, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And I loose the Holy Ghost, and I loose God's obedient angels to go and do his will, according to Psalm 103, Psalm 91, and Hebrews chapter 1, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for performing your word, Father God, in Jesus' name. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I deliver him. I thank you for delivering us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And we're in agreement. Amen.
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 And we have 603 on the phone. Go ahead, Spring.
And hi, that's me.
Hi, can you hold on just one moment, please? I need to add a little tag onto Marshall's prayer. Hold on just one second, sweetheart.
Okay.
Father, in Jesus' name, the announcement was made through the movie that was made that they plan to take over a city, martial law. I ask you, Father, to apply the prayers that our brother Marshall just prayed that we are in agreement with to that notion as well, in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise. And as far as our sister Sherry is concerned, Lord, those hooks that came to take her away, we declare that no hook shall ever take her away from Jesus Christ. Yeah. That is the word of God, and it is established in heaven and in the earth and beneath the earth in Jesus' name. Go ahead, darling.
Okay.
Hi.
603.
Hi, it's
hey.
Hi, it's 603.
Yeah.
This is plucked from the fire, and I wish I had a much bigger and better praise report to give you. It's been a challenge since I first called in. Some things have been dramatically better. And yet, at the same time, other things have been dramatically worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I don't quite know what to say other than that. I've had some really difficult times. And just a few days ago, I had a situation that my biggest challenge, I think, is the issue of mind control. And I just feel as though I am kind of crammed into a tiny little space, and it's just really tiny, and it's like a small room, and it just seems to be getting smaller all the time. And I had a situation the other day where the Lord has really been blessing me by bringing more and more things together for me, and that's a good thing. But there's a lot of resistance to that. And I, when I was fairly young, I was a teenager, and my father had made an attempt on my life, and I had known that he was a sharpshooter in the military, but I didn't know, just until recently, I didn't know what a sharpshooter really was. I mean, I had an idea, but I didn't understand that that was an assassin. That was someone who was trained to be an assassin. And, I thought, okay, let me take a look at, what I know of where he did his training and whatnot. And he was in the Marines, and he did his training at Pendleton, and I understand that's a pretty central place for this sharpshooter training. Well, the other thing that I was coming to understand is that when he had attempted to take my life, he then left the state, and he just basically went across country. Well, I was understanding that there was a whole rash of of murders that had happened at that time. And in that moment of making, like, just understanding that he might have had something to do with some of that, it was like my mind just clicked off. It was like a switch got flipped. And I just immediately, I had to lay down and go to sleep, and it was in the middle of the day. And I slept for probably 2 hours. And that's really unlike me. I can never sleep in the middle of the day at all. And it was a little bit, well, it was a lot unnerving for that to happen to me, that I just didn't have any control. It was just like the switch just got flipped in my head. And anyway, I would really like it if you would pray for me.
Okay, Sabrina.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something first. I have to tell you something. There have been times in my life where things that have happened to me were extremely traumatic. And one way that the Lord handled me at that time was by putting me to sleep. He's done it since then. I'll give you one example. There was a person, a male that I was interacting with, and it got to the point where it was physically violent, okay? And it got to the point that this thought came into my mind that when he lays down to go to sleep, all you need to do is put a pillow over him. And see, he's so drunk, he would suffocate to death, okay? That was the thought that came to me. And you have to realize I was being abused at the time.
Sure.
The entrance of that thought. Then suddenly, a very peaceful spirit came on me, and I had to go to bed. I had to go to sleep because I was about to go to sleep standing right where I was. So I backed up. I went to where I would go to sleep, and I locked myself in. And I don't remember even getting in the bed, but I didn't get up until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
If that had not happened, there would have been a murder, and I'm certain of it.
Mm.
I have no doubt. I didn't have any doubt the next morning, and I don't have any doubt this, 30-some years later.
Mm-hmm.
I would have killed that person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. So
okay.
That was the Lord protecting you.
Yeah.
That's, I do understand that.
And before I began to pray for you, that's the inclination I got, that you had just had something very shocking come to you.
Yeah.
And that's how he handles it with us sometimes. I don't know if he does it with other people, but he's done that with me on more than one occasion, that he will give me rest and sound sleep right after something very traumatic has taken place.
It was within, I would say, probably seconds of me coming to that realization that, like I say, it was just like a switch got flicked, you know, like a light switch.
And he was the switch flipper, okay? So thank him and trust him, and just know that this is a process. This is a process. You don't get through this all at once. This is a process, a drawn-out process.
Well, it's really clearly a process. And
okay, so Let us pray for you now because we're about to be cut off, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your ways are not our ways. Your ways are above our ways, Lord. And I thank you for the revelation that my sister is receiving. I thank you, Lord, that she's receiving from you with an open heart and an open mind, and that she is trusting you. Help her to trust you more, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will strengthen her, for the Bible declares that you are our strength. You will strengthen her to be able to endure what she must endure, to learn what she must learn, and to trust you to walk her and out of this into victory. There is a brighter day for her. There is a brighter day. because she's made Jesus her buckler, her shield, and her trust. There is victory for her, and there is overcoming for her, because she has made the Lord Jesus Christ her stay. Father, I thank you for releasing your blood over our sister, your peace, your love, your nurturing, and to know that she is in your hands, and no one can pluck her out in Jesus' name. I thank you, and I give you praise for what you are doing for her. Now, sister, you need to change your confession. Instead of saying things are going backward in some direction, no, they're continually going forward in Jesus' name. Okay?
In all directions.
That's right. They're going
is that what you're saying? All directions, right?
Amen.
Okay.
We're in agreement with you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, and pluck from the fire is Brother Marshall. I just have a quickie. A couple things for you. I think you'll really enjoy Psalm 31, verse 8. I really think you read those first eight verses, and when you get down there, it says, and has not shut me up. The Lord has not shut, plucked from the fire up from the hand of the, how does it go? And has not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. He set your feet in a large room.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, and how about Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, plucked from the fire, in the spirit of your mind, in Jesus' name. I decree it and declare it, in Jesus' name. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Those are good ones. Amen. What?
Amen.
We uncage you. We forbid any devil from trying to cage you or any human being. And we open the cage and we say for your spirit to come out of the cage and your flesh and your body and your soul, every part of you can no longer be caged in Jesus' name, the blood of the Lamb. Now, friends, we're going to be back up here on Friday night at 7:30, and we give you a personal invitation to come and be with us and to tell your friends. Visit us up at MiracleInternetChurch.com, and also don't forget to go to RemnantRadio.org, and you'll find that newsletter I was talking about. Where the church in Jacksonville, the headlines up on the internet was Antichrist Spirit Visits Jacksonville Church. So I wrote an article about that at remnantradio.org. And it's the first newsletter up there, and it's very, very shocking. I say give it to your pastors. Don't forget also that we have new Kindle books coming out every week, and we invite you up also. Who was that? God is Good says the high-up bankers are found dead, committing suicide. That's one of the signs of the end time, by the way. For high up people to jump out of high rises. Bible doesn't call it that, but yeah. Things are bad all over, but on our side, things are great. Right, Marshall?
Amen. And I have another verse here for pluck from the fire. Read the first seven verses of Leviticus 14:7 in particular. It talks about there was a dead bird. That's Jesus. He paid the price for us. And pronounced you clean, you are clean, sister, and let the living bird loose in the open field. So Leviticus 14:7.
Psalm 118:5-2. Well, we've got one hand up. Let's see who this is. We're in overtime, but 661. Hello. You got to talk into the phone.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can you pray for me?
Yes.
Can you pray for the delivery?
What do you want prayer for?
For myself, and for my family, for witchcraft, for everything.
Okay, Brother Marshall.
Father, it says in your word in the book of Joel, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be delivered. Amen. So, brother, if you call upon the name of the Lord, if you've repented of your sins personally and generationally for you and your family, you call upon the name in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant, and he will deliver you because he says he will. It says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved over in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It's taken from that same verse. He promises to do that, and we're in agreement with you, according to Matthew 18:19. Father, if this brother has a heart to be delivered for him and his family from witchcraft, we ask that you deliver him fully in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit, personally and generationally, associated with this brother, going back at least 10 generations on both sides of his family. We cancel their assignments to him in Jesus' name. We command them all to be bound, thrust in a cage, and null and void in Jesus' name. Brother, have you made a commitment to Jesus Christ personally?
Yeah.
When was that?
5 years ago.
Okay. Have you seen evidence of things changing in your life?
Yeah, it's changed. My life changed a lot than before. Before it was really bad, but right now, I want to pray for my wife.
Okay. And have you asked for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for the baptism in the Spirit?
No.
Well, because it's for the power to live the Christian life. It's the power over the devil, because we can't do it in our own strength, all right? And it says over in Luke, I think it's chapter 13, and it talks about a normal father. If you being a good daddy, if your child asks you for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion, that kind of a thing. It says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen?
Amen.
So I would just repeat after me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In Jesus' name I come before you.
In Jesus' name I come before you.
For me and for my family.
For me and my family.
And my generations.
And my generation.
Going back 10 generations.
Going back 10 generations.
On both sides of my family.
And both sides of my family.
Forgive me all sins.
Forgive me all sins.
For me and my generations.
For me and my generation.
And my family.
And my family.
And I ask, Father.
And I ask, Father.
That Jesus will live in my heart by faith.
Jesus will live in my heart by faith.
And that, Father, you will send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
And you send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
To teach me.
To teach me.
To empower me.
Empower me.
To live the Christian life.
The Christian life.
The way Jesus wants me to.
And Jesus wants me to.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I thank you, Father, for doing it.
Thank you, Father, for doing this.
And I ask, Father, that the Lord Jesus baptize me.
And I have, Father,
that Jesus Christ baptize me with the Holy Ghost.
Baptize me with the Holy Ghost.
And holy fire.
And holy fire.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And deliver me.
And deliver me.
From every ungodly spirit.
And really.
Deliver me from every ungodly spirit.
And deliver the really ungodly spirit.
From every ungodly spirit. From all ungodly spirits.
All ungodly spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, brother, I want to hear you tell me something. Can you say, Jesus Christ came in the flesh?
Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
Okay, I just want to make sure you can say that. Thank you, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's very important. Thank you for praying that. And we thank you, Father, for hearing this brother's cry. And we thank you, Father, we're in agreement, Lord, that you will deliver him and his family, because you also promised in your word over in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved in your household. Of course, they need to hear the word too. Your household members need to know the word in Jesus' name. And I base that on the King James Bible, okay, the authorized version. So I don't know.
if you I don't know if your background is Spanish speaking, is that right?
Yeah, I don't think Spanish is my language. But
yes,
because I understand.
If you go online and you look up, I forget what it's called, Chick Tracks, the people that make those witnessing tracks, they
mm-hmm.
have a Spanish speaking Bible, I mean written in Spanish, that's based on the authorized version. Now they have one available that's based on the same version that the King James Bible is based on, but it's in Spanish. So if it's easier for you in Spanish, you might want to contact, if you look online, it might help you. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Call us back and read the Bible.
Amen.
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 And by the way, faith comes by hearing. It's good to read the Bible out loud. Okay?
All right. Okay.
Okay.
And call us back. We'll be back up here Friday night.
Wednesday night.
Yeah,
we'll
next Wednesday.
Tonight.
Next Wednesday at 7:30, and then Friday at 7:30.
Thank you, guys.
Lord bless
you. I have
no
idea where I am or what it is going on.
Perdón. Perdón.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, brother. God bless. God bless. You know something? God is good all the time. And so we'll see you up here Wednesday night. Continue to pray for Shirley and Chucky. We appreciate it. And God is good all the time. Thank you, Brother Marshall. And we bind up all black backlash and put this program under the blood of Jesus and release confusion over the enemy camp. And we bind this open attack against our cities where they're going door to door. And Father God, we ask that you raise up a standard against these things.
And release the people that were taken captive.
And release all the people that are innocent that were taken captive. And uncover all things. And we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
And we're in
Thank
agreement.
You, Brother Marshall.
Thank you, Sister Pat. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina.
God bless.
God bless you. Lord bless us all. Keep us in Jesus' name.
God bless everybody. Thank you for tuning in tonight. See you Friday night, 7:30 p.m. And God is great.
Oh. It was dark in my heart. You brought life to me. A child of darkness became a child.
Jehovah, the mighty God.